We're so glad that you came out tonight to spend this evening with us. Over the past 31 years, we've been a church now for 31 years, I've made it a tradition to read, and you know this, one of my favorite Christmas cards. And I do so because it really clearly gives us the reason why God chose to send His Son into the world. Now, before I read the card, though, recently I read a survey that was done about Christmas. And the question that was asked, it was an interesting question. What upsets you most about Christmas or the holiday season? And they asked the people, was it the fact that people were trying to take Christ out of Christmas? Or was it the fact that it was being commercialized? And the majority of people said that it was being commercialized too much and that upset them. Now, we all recognize that both of those are a problem because, first of all, the whole reason that we celebrate Christmas at this time of the year is because we celebrate the birth of Christ. And so it seems not only foolish but senseless to take or try to take Christ out of Christmas, because that's the whole reason we celebrate in the first place. Now, the second question is also a problem because once the attention is off of Jesus and off the real reason for the season, then it becomes about other things. It becomes about gifts. It becomes about parties. It becomes about trees. It becomes about decorations or even Santa Claus. And we then have lost focus on why we celebrate Christmas. I wrote this down this week and put it on my Facebook page. Let's see if I can find it here real quick. Yeah. And I want to say this as sort of a confession, because for a lot of years, I didn't really understand the real meaning of Christmas, nor did I really celebrate Christmas like I should have celebrated Christmas. For me, Christmas, growing up, it was Santa Claus. Growing up, it was presents, it was food, it was candy, it was parties. And then when I got a little bit older, it was alcohol. And then when I got a little bit crazier, it was pot. Then it was midnight mass. We used to go to midnight mass to see the girls and then go party after mass. And I did all of that because I was lost. I was lost and I was in darkness. But now Christmas to me is completely different. I've been a believer now, a follower of Jesus for 42 years. And now to me, Christmas is Jesus, Jesus, and more Jesus. And that Jesus is everything. Jesus is everything. Now, I'll read to you the Christmas card that I read every year, and it really does summarize well the whole idea of our celebration. And you remember it probably, but I love this. It says, if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. But since our greatest need was forgiveness, God sent us a Savior. Now, this time of the year, we celebrate that gift. We call Jesus the gift of God. And Jesus came based upon our specific need. I don't know if you've ever gotten a present or Christmas presents or birthday presents, and you're like, why did I get this, right? Or how does this apply to my life? Or what can I do with this? Well, that's not at all what God did in sending His Son. Jesus' coming was not wrapped in paper, but He was wrapped in skin. And so He's the gift of God to the world. The birth of the Son of God was the divine taking on flesh and blood and becoming one of us. And He came because all of us are the same in this, that we are all in need of a Savior. We are all in need of forgiveness before God. There is not one of us that can say, I have lived a perfect and a sinless life. In fact, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was praying, getting ready to go to the cross, he knew he came to die. Jesus was born with the mission to go to Jerusalem and die on a cross. And while he was in the garden praying, the final night when he was about to be arrested, he prayed a prayer and he said, "Father, let this cup pass from me. Yet not my will, but your will be done." Now we know that God didn't answer his prayer because the cup didn't pass. And he basically said, if there's any other way, then let this cup pass. If there was any other way for us to be saved, for us to be forgiven, for our sins to be dealt with on our own, if we could have been a good person, if we could have been religious enough, offered enough sacrifices or something, then there was no reason for Jesus to die. But the fact of the matter is that God sent Jesus as the Savior because there was no other way for our sins to be forgiven. Now, the prophets spoke beforehand hundreds, even thousands of years about God sending the Messiah into the world. We have amazing prophecies in the Old Testament of who he was going to be, where, what, when, all of that. We don't have the time to go into all of that. But the whole of the Old Testament, generation preceding generation, generation following generation, was one big anticipation of the coming of the Son of David or the Son of God. All of them foretold that the Messiah was going to come into the world, and his coming was not going to be ordinary either. It was going to be extraordinary or extraordinary. And so his conception was miraculous. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He was born of a virgin, the Virgin Mary. Angels were involved in his announcement. When Jesus actually came into the world, there was not only an angel, but a great company of angels that sang his praises. And the thing about angels singing the praises of Jesus is angels know this, that there is only one being in all the universe that is worthy of worship. And they worshiped him. And so all of this was an amazing time, an amazing event. And so this little baby, having the worship of angels, then the shepherds coming, they came and they offered worship and adoration. And after that, perhaps months or a year or two later, no one knows the time frame, the wise men show up, the Magi, and they come from the east bringing gifts to the one they called the king. And they said, "We have come to worship him." Now, I don't know about you guys, but whenever we and my family have had children come into our family, and my grandchildren, my children, when they were born, I remember when my son Jared was born, my firstborn son. And it was pretty miraculous, I thought, because my wife and I were on the mission field. And way back then, in 1983, I think it was, something like that. And we were in Fiji. And we suspected she was pregnant. But we didn't know, and there was no way to find out back then, especially there being on that island. And then in Samoa, we were on Samoa. And so we're there and we're praying, and we went before the Lord. And I was nervous because as a first-time father, I remember being there, and my wife, Dia, doesn't like anything that has to do with fish whatsoever. And that's pretty much what we ate. Whatever the Samoan boys in the village went out in their canoes or whatever they call them, and they would go diving and they would spear fish, that would be the food that we ate that day. And so Dia wasn't eating very good. They would bring us some bananas and a little bit of fruit here and there. And so she wasn't eating good, and I was scared. And I'm like, "Man, if she's pregnant, we got to leave the mission field. We got to go home because I don't want her to, you know, not the baby developed not correctly and all. You know, as a first-time father, I'm freaking out." But anyway, we went to the beach and we were praying, and I was like, "Lord, if my wife is pregnant, please give us a sign. Show us." And we prayed and we sat quietly before the Lord. And then a verse popped in my head, a scripture verse. I waited a little while and I said to Dia, "Well, did the Lord speak to you, Dia?" And she said, "Well, all I got was a scripture verse." And I go, "Well, let's look them up. Where's yours?" And she said, one of us said Old Testament, the other one said New Testament. So we got our Bible, we're sitting on the beach, and we opened up our Bible, and we open and we read the verse that came to our heads. And hers said, "And you shall bear a son." And mine said, "And you shall bear a son." And you know what? We bore a son. We ended up coming back. Everything was fine. You know, I was paranoid dad and all that, but everything was fine. And then the other thing that happened that really scared me when my son came into the world, my wife went into labor. She was in labor for a long time and it wasn't working out very well. And the baby, Jared, well, I call him Big Man. He was trying to push out, you know. And so anyway, they finally decided to do a C-section. So they did the C-section and I was standing there and they took him out. And I had just seen the movie Coneheads. Anybody ever seen the movie Coneheads? Well, I had just seen the movie Coneheads and he came out and his head was like, you know. And I'm like, "I have a cone head for a son," you know. I'm freaked out, right? And the first thing I said to the doctor, "Is his head going to stay that way?" You know, and he goes, "No, no, it'll turn round." I'm like, "Oh, good. Thank God," you know. But the thing is, you know, when we had our son, there was no angels singing. There was no big announcement. Shepherds didn't come to visit us. We had no wise people coming and giving us gold and frankincense and myrrh. None of that. But all of this happened with this little baby. And so all of this supernatural stuff was taking place. And then a little while later, Joseph and Mary take Jesus to the temple on the 40th day to have him dedicated. And they come into the temple and they're overwhelmed with praise and worship. Simeon first. Simeon comes up to them. He sees Joseph and Mary coming in carrying this little baby. And the Holy Spirit had spoken to Simeon beforehand and said that he would not die until he saw the Lord's Christ or the Messiah. So he met Joseph and Mary as they're coming in with baby in arms. And he speaks these words of praise and he says, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, now you dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes," and this is amazing, "for my eyes have seen your salvation." What was he looking at? A little baby. "My eyes have seen your salvation." He wasn't speaking about an event. He was speaking about a person, this little child. And so this Jesus is God's salvation to the world. Now, I want to really emphasize this because we get really mixed up in our culture. Salvation is not in a religion. Salvation is not in a religious system. Salvation is not in an organization or a church or a denomination. Salvation is the person of Jesus only. And here's a really important reality when we talk about why we celebrate Christmas. This is why Jesus is so important, because if you have Jesus, that means that you have salvation. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have salvation. And if Jesus has you, you have salvation. If Jesus doesn't have you, you don't have salvation. It comes down to you and him. You and Jesus. Also, we see the same response of worship. This elderly woman, a prophetess named Anna, she sees in the temple Joseph and Mary holding this little baby. We're told there that she never left the temple, but fasted and prayed night and day. Very devout woman. And she sees and she begins to praise. She worshiped this little baby. And she spoke prophetically about this baby, how this child would bring redemption to the nation of Israel. So all of these miraculous things, events were taking place. But this was the birth of the promised one, the Messiah. And this is the one that the angels said that he was sent to save his people from their sins. We talked about that this morning. To save his people from their sins. Well, who are those people? All of us. Sinners. That's who he came for. And so I'm the first to admit I'm a sinner. And I'm so, so grateful for the love that God has displayed in sending Jesus to save me and to rescue me from my sins. So as we think about Christmas, God has given all of us a gift. And it's the gift of his Son. And we're promised this in Scripture, that whosoever would believe in him, that means to put our faith in him, our trust in him, whoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. Guys, do you realize all of us in this room are going to live forever and ever and ever? Yes, this physical body that you live in now, this temporal body, is eventually going to wear out, break, and stop working. But the real you, your spirit and your soul, all of us are going to live forever and ever and ever somewhere. Some preacher said, either in glory or in flames. And so it behooves us to think about where we're going to spend eternity. Romans 6:23 declares to us that the wages of sin is death. That's what our sins have earned us. Death. But then that verse has a beautiful flip side. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so the angel's announcement that Jesus was coming to save people from their sins is great news. Jesus, his name means the Lord is salvation, or the Lord saves. So what is our greatest need? We just read that card. It's forgiveness. And that's why God sent a Savior. The message of Christmas is simple. It's beautiful. 1 John 5:11 says this, that God has given us eternal life. It's a gift. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son of God has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. So when we receive Christ and we put our faith in Christ, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. We become God's own. He puts a seal of ownership on us by the Holy Spirit. And we are sealed for the day of redemption. That means that our names are written in the Lamb's book of life. And that when we die, there's a place Jesus said he was going to prepare a place for us in heaven. And he said, if I go prepare a place for you, I'll come back to take you to be with me. And so this is the good news of the gospel. And there's a gift that God offers to every one of us. It's a gift that you personally can receive or reject. No one can do that for you. You have to make a decision personally if you're going to receive the gift of forgiveness of sins and eternal life, or you're going to reject it. John's gospel tells us, and I'll read it to you. It's one of my favorite verses. I show this to people all the time because it's so much the gospel in a nutshell. Listen to what it says. The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Is that you? Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son, is that you? Whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. So this idea of Christmas to me is so beautiful because the Lord gives us the opportunity to receive the gift or to reject the gift. And ultimately, when we meet God, God is going to honor every one of our choices. But I'm personally so thankful for the Lord's forgiveness of sins. And if you knew me in my BC days, you'd probably be going, I can't even believe God would forgive you. But his love covers over a multitude of sins. Christ Jesus came into the world, Paul the Apostle said, to save sinners, of whom I am chief, Paul said. And so the whole reason he came was to save us from our sins. Amen? Father, we thank you. Thank you for the gift of your Son. Thank you for the offer of salvation to whosoever would believe. You promised that we would not perish, but we would have everlasting life. We thank you, Lord, that through the blood of Christ we can be forgiven. Our sins can be washed. And Lord, that you've given us the Holy Spirit as a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance in your kingdom. And we thank you, Lord, that we have hope beyond the grave. That ours as believers is an endless hope, not a hopeless end. And so we thank you for sending Jesus to save us. We celebrate tonight his coming. And we praise you for sending him for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Do we have one more song? Yeah, we have one more song. And let's just pray real quick. Because we want you to stay. Hopefully you can stay. And we're going to have the meal. Normally we have the meal in the fellowship hall, but we're not this year. We're having it over on the other side in the gym. And so we have everything all set up. But I'm going to pray, because after we go over there, we won't have to pray again. You can just rush to get in the front of the line and eat. All right, so let's pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the meal that we're about to receive. We thank you for the fellowship. We thank you for the blessing. Thank you for all of those that generously and graciously brought food, I hope. It's some over there. And we praise you for that, Lord. And bless our fellowship tonight. And we thank you once more, Jesus, for tonight. And thank you for all the hard work that these guys put in doing the music. Such a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing one last song.